Frank didn't feel relieved until Mitchell had mounted one of the horses tied near the cabins and ridden off toward the canyon entrance. He was going back to wherever he had come from, probably Los Angeles. The outfit he wore was a town suit, if Frank had ever seen one. The other man went back into the cabin and shut the door. Then and only then did Frank glance over at Linderman and nod. They began edging their way down the rock face. All the cabins were dark, except the one from which Mitchell and his companion had emerged earlier. The yellow glow of lamplight was still visible in its window. Most of the members of the gang had turned in for the night, though. The glow from the fire grew brighter around the two men as they climbed down the bluff. The ceiling of that cave-like area underneath the overhang was about 8 feet high, Frank had estimated when he was studying it from a distance. When he and Linderman were no more than 10 feet off the ground, he paused, slipped his gun out of its holster, looked over at Linderman, and nodded. The foreman drew his own revolver and returned Frank's grim nod. Then, both men pushed off from the wall and dropped through empty air toward the sandy ground. Directly in front of him, no more than 2 feet away, one of the gunmen gaped at Frank in open-mouthed amazement as they landed. Frank swung the gun in his hand into the man's face. The man went down without a sound. Linderman had gone to one knee when he landed, unable to stay upright. From that position, he launched himself forward in a diving tackle aimed at one of the other guards. His arms went around the man's waist, and the impact of the collision bore the guard over backward. Frank went after the third and final guard, the one called Warner, who opened his mouth to yell as he clawed at the gun on his hip. Frank grabbed the man's gun wrist with his left hand and bludgeoned him over the head with the Colt in his right hand, killing him instantly. A few yards away, Linderman was getting up. The man he had been struggling with lay there unconscious. As soon as Linderman was on his feet, he ran over to Dolores and dropped to a knee beside her.
Are you all right, Senor?
I'm fine, I guess. Pete, is it really you?
It's me, all right.
Linderman pulled a clasp knife from his pocket, opened it, and proceeded to cut off the Senora's bonds.
Let's get those ropes off of you.
We come to get you out of here, Senora. We got some horses outside the canyon. You feel up to doing some riding?
Just stand back and watch me ride, Mr. Morgan. Unless you have an extra gun for me, in which case I think we should go teach those bastards who kidnapped me a lesson.
There's too many of them for that, Senora. We need to get you out of here while we've got a chance.
Of course. Did the two of you come alone, or is the rest of the crew waiting outside the canyon?
It's just us, ma'am.
Frank and Linderman pulled their boots on. Then the three of them started along the canyon wall, moving fast, but not making any more noise than they had to.
What happened at the ranch? How many of the men were hurt?
I don't know for sure about that, but the barn burned down.
We can build another barn. I'm worried about the men. Magnuson will pay for this.
Magnuson's not to blame for it.
What? Of course he is. That little bookkeeper, or whatever he is, said so.
You better keep moving, Senora. I'll try to explain as we go along.
Keeping his voice low, Frank laid out the theory he had formed about a third party hiring the gunmen to provoke open warfare between Salida del Sol and the oil drillers.
Magnuson lost three of his wells tonight, and then the same bunch raided your ranch and carried you off.
You have to be mistaken. Who else but Magnuson would benefit from ruining me and my ranch?
Somebody who wants the ranch and Magnuson's drilling operation both. That's the big boss Mitchell is really working for.
What Morgan says makes sense, Senor. I didn't want to believe it at first either, but I reckon he's probably got it right.
I don't know. I've been blaming Magnuson for everything for so long.
That's exactly what the fella behind this was counting on, as well as Magnuson feeling the same way about you.
All right. Maybe it's true. What do we do now?
Get you back to the ranch where you'll be safe, or at least safer. Then I want to see if I can find Mitchell. I got a hunch he'll talk if I can ever lay hands on him.
If he won't, let me ask him the questions for a while. He'll talk.
That'll have to wait for later, Frank thought. Right now, though, the first objective was to get out of the canyon before anyone discovered that Dolores was missing. When they found that she was gone and saw what sort of shape the three guards were in, they would know she'd had help getting away. She couldn't have handled those hard cases like that by herself. They had to worry about the sentries posted along the canyon walls, too. Frank thought they were getting close to the spot where the lookouts had been earlier when he and Linderman were sneaking in. From here on, they would have to be as silent as possible, which he indicated to his two companions with gestures.
The woman's getting away! away! Stop her!
Move, Senora. Run. Run straight out and then turn to the right. You'll find the horses and some trees about 100 yards in that direction.
But what about you and Pete?
Don't worry about us. Just do like Morgan says and get out of here. We'll be right behind you.
Dolores nodded and broke into a run. Frank and Linderman spread out to either side of her to cover her escape. The canyon mouth loomed not far ahead of them. But then dark shapes ran out to block their escape.
Hold it!
When they didn't slow down, muzzle flame blossomed in the shadows like crimson flowers, and Frank heard the sinister song of a bullet whistling past his ear. Frank's gun was already in his hand. He aimed above and to the right of the muzzle flash, and his instincts were true. More shots came from the left. Linderman returned that fire. He stumbled, and Frank knew that he'd been hit.
Pete!
Dolores realized that too. She slowed and started to turn back toward him.
Go on! I'm fine!
You're hurt.
Damn it, Dolores, get out of here!
She still hesitated, but only for a second before picking up speed again. Frank veered toward Linderman and grabbed the foreman's arm with his left hand to steady him as they ran.
You elected?
Just nominate him. Slug knocked a chunk of meat out of my leg. But feels like it missed the bone. I can keep moving as long as my boot don't fill up with blood.
A Winchester cracked, and another bullet whined between Frank's head and Linderman. Both of them fired at once and saw the shadowy figure of a guard go spinning off his feet as their slugs tore into him. They hurried past the bullet-driven hombre. Frank thought they were past the sentries now, but the rest of the gang would be coming after them in a hurry. They had to reach the horses and start putting some distance between themselves and the canyon. Up ahead, Dolores ran through the canyon mouth and turned right, as Frank had told her. Frank and Linderman were about 20 yards behind her. As they made the turn, more rifles opened up behind them, but the gunmen were a long way back and were probably firing blindly. Some of the bullets chipped rock splinters off the canyon wall as Frank and Linderman hustled past. Then they were out in the open again and headed for the horses. Frank saw that Dolores was already mounted and had the reins of Goldie and Linderman's horse in her hand. She hurried to meet the two men with their mounts.
That dog of yours almost scared me to death when I came up, Mr. Morgan. I thought he was a wolf.
A lot of people make that mistake.
Frank gave Linderman a hand, getting into the saddle, then swung up onto Goldie's back.
Come on!
They turned their mounts and kicked them into a run, with Frank and Linderman's steeds bringing up the rear behind the Senora's.
I'll take Senora back to the ranch. You find Magnuson and tell him to round up as many of his men as he can and get over there too.
What the hell for?
We're gonna catch those varmints between us. They need to be wiped out once and for all.
I suppose it could work. But I'll stay with the Senora. You fetch Magnuson.
That's a better job for you, Pete. You're hurt.
Damn it, Morgan.
You know I'm right. Don't worry. I'll see to it that the Senora is all right.
You damn well better. All right. You reckon he's still at those burned out oil wells?
That's the first place I'd look for him.
Linderman nodded and veered his horse to the left. Dolores saw him angling away from them.
Pete! Where's he going?
To fetch help. Keep heading for the ranch, Senora.
But he's hurt. What if something happens to him?
Frank and Dolores headed straight across the San Fernando Valley toward Salida del Sol. Frank looked back over his shoulder from time to time to see how close the pursuers were. At first, he couldn't make out anything, and he hoped for a second that the gang wasn't coming after them. That was a doomed hope, though. He knew it. So he wasn't surprised a few minutes later when Frank saw the flicker of muzzle flashes, and he knew that the hired killers were throwing lead at them. It would take a mighty lucky shot at this range to find its target, especially considering that the gunmen were firing from the backs of galloping horses. But stranger things had been known to happen, so Frank leaned forward over Goldie's neck and urged the stallion on to greater speed. Goldie drew even with Dolores' horse.
Lean over like this. Make yourself a smaller target.
She did as he told her. Her horse was fairly fresh, and Linderman had chosen a good mount for her. It seemed to have plenty of speed and sand. Goldie had to be wearing down, though, and in fact, Frank could feel the stallion's pace slowing slightly.
Keep going. Don't slow down and don't look back. Just make it to the ranch.
What about you, Mr. Morgan?
Don't worry about me.
But Dolores was worried, and Frank could tell it. He had to wave her on a couple of times before she let her horse have its head and started to draw away. Goldie's sides were heaving. Frank patted him on the shoulder.
You run a mighty good race, big fella. Nobody could ask for more than you giving me.
Goldie continued to slow down. Frank let him set his own pace now. The hard cases were still at least 100 yards behind him. They were cutting the gap now. Their guns continued to flash in the night. At least Dolores continued to pull away, and Linderman had disappeared in the darkness several minutes earlier and he looked to find Magnuson. They would have a chance to get away. Frank could increase their chances by delaying the pursuit. Calling back on the reins, he pulled Goldie in a wide circle that ended with him facing the onrushing gunman. Frank opened his Colt and thumbed fresh cartridges into the expended chambers. He slid it back in the holster and then pulled the Winchester from the saddle. The rifle was fully loaded with 15 rounds. With the 6 and the Colt, that gave him 21 shots. Frank looped the reins around the saddle horn to keep them out of the way and pressed his knees into the stallion's flank. Then he lifted the Winchester to his shoulder.
Trail, Goldie! Trail!
Together, man and horse charged straight into the faces of their enemies. The way the hired killers were bunched together, all Frank had to do was fire in their general direction to have a good chance of hitting something. He swung the Winchester from left to right, spraying lead as fast as he could work the rifle's lever and pull the trigger. Bullets continued ripping through the air around his head as the gap between him and the gunman closed in a matter of heartbeats. Suddenly, Frank was among them, just as the Winchester's hammer clicked on empty. But since he was alive, Frank continued to fight. As Goldie crashed into one of the horses, Frank swung the empty rifle like a club, smashing it across the head of one of the gunmen. The stock shattered, and so did the man's skull. Frank twisted in the saddle and drove the jagged end of the broken stock into the face of another man, who clapped his hands over his eyes as he was blinded. Frank dropped the rifle and palmed out his Colt as he whirled Goldie around. Frank charged the men again. The heavy revolver bucked in his hand. Suddenly, Goldie was down. Frank felt the stallion falling and kicked his feet out of the stirrups in time to avoid being pinned. He was thrown through the air and crashed to the ground. As he rolled over, he was heartsick that Goldie was probably dead now. But he was convinced that he would follow the valiant stallion within seconds. As he surged to his feet, still gripping his gun, a horse loomed up close beside him. Frank tried to get out of the animal's way, but its shoulder clipped him and knocked him down again. He had to throw himself aside to avoid being trampled by another horse. Frank scrambled up again and tried to lift his gun, unsure whether or not there were still any bullets in it, but determined to go down fighting. One of the riders kicked it out of his hand, though.
Hold your fire! Have you got him?
We've got him, boss.
Who is it? Who helped Dolores escape?
It's that bastard Morgan.
I should have known.
Howdy, Sandoval. I'm sure sorry Dolores is gonna have to find out what a no-good son of a bitch her own brother is.
Dolores has no idea what's going on around here. Once I'm through with her, she'll be so broken she'll have no choice but to turn to me. Then, I'll have the ranch I was supposed to have all along. The largest ranch in the valley.
Never got over the fact that she just didn't turn everything over to you after her husband died, did you? That was your plan all along when you pushed her into marrying him, wasn't it? You didn't figure she'd decide to hang on to Salida del Sol.
She is a woman! She has no business running a ranch! And she clings to Francisco's foolish notions about not cashing in on the oil under her range.
She's your own sister. How can you try to ruin her this way?
I don't want to hurt her, if it can be avoided. But I'll do whatever I have to, Morgan. Once I own both ranches and the oil, any legal disputes over the ownership of all this range will be resolved in my favor. You know, the richest man always wins in court.
Who's Mitchell?
You don't need to know everything, Morgan. You can die with questions unanswered. But not yet. Bring him with us. I want him to see us wipe out the rest of my sister's crew. So she has no choice but to give up.
Sandoval made a chopping gesture, and one of the men followed his command, leaning down from his saddle and slamming the butt of his gun against Frank's head. Frank was driven to his knees by the blow and felt consciousness slipping away from him. He tried to hang on to it, but he failed, and a darkness deeper than the night around them claimed him. The ache that filled Frank's head when he woke up made him sick to his stomach for a moment before he forced the feeling down. A stroke of luck and arrogance on the part of Jorge Sandoval had given him another chance at life, and Frank didn't intend to waste it. Gradually, he became aware that he was slumped forward in a saddle with his hands tied to the horn. The horse underneath him was still, other than a little nervous shifting around every now and then. He heard other horses nearby and figured they belonged to the gunman.
Anytime you're ready, boss, just give the word.
Are you sure you want to go through with this, Jorge? Your sister might be hurt.
But what about your brother? You didn't try to stop us when we went after him.
That overbearing son of a bitch deserves what he gets.
When Frank first heard her voice, he had almost reacted from the shock he felt, but he'd managed to control the impulse. Sandoval had been one of the strongest suspects when Frank put together his theory of a third party orchestrating all the trouble in the valley. But he had never dreamed that Astrid might be in on it with Sandoval. The two of them had gotten together somehow and decided to double-cross their siblings. It made sense in a way. Between the two of them, they always knew what both sides in the conflict were thinking and planning.
Every minute we wait gives them more time to get ready for us down here, boss.
I know that! Wake up, Morgan! I want him to see what's happening before I put a bullet in his brain.
Frank had pretended to still be unconscious so he could find out what was going on around him, but the need for that ruse was over. He stirred and lifted his head slowly, as if coming to naturally, before any of Sandoval's men could do anything. Frank looked past Sandoval and saw Astrid sitting in a buggy with the reins in her hands.
Ah, I see you're awake, Morgan.
Yeah, but nothing's changed. You're still as big a polecat as ever.
Sandoval spurred his horse over next to Frank's and slashed a backhanded blow across his face with the quirt he held.
Jorge! That's not necessary.
Miss Magnuson?
I'm sorry things have to be like this, Mr. Morgan. I enjoyed making your acquaintance. If I thought you could be trusted, I might have offered to let you in on what was really going on.
Why did you try to get me to work for your brother anyway?
Jorge sent word to me that your meeting with all the ranchers failed to rally them together, and that you weren't going to work for his sister. I thought that if Victor could hire you, it would infuriate the Montero faction even more.
And you had to keep both sides stirred up so they'd wipe each other out for you and Sandoval here.
It's still going to work. Once Dolores turns her ranch over to Jorge,
you'll have your brother killed. That way you can inherit his company.
I wouldn't have put it so bluntly, but yes, that's what's going to happen.
All you've done is make a nuisance of yourself, Morgan. I don't know how you managed to get Dolores away from my men by yourself tonight, but that will be the last time you interfere with my affairs.
Frank felt his pulse quicken. Sandoval didn't realize that Pete Linderman had been with him when he rescued Dolores. The guard Linderman had knocked out must have either died or not regained consciousness when the pursuit started. And during the brief shootout with the sentries as they fought their way out of the canyon, everything had been dark and confused, so that Sandoval's hard cases hadn't realized there were two men helping Dolores escape, not just one. That was another stroke of luck, because it meant that Sandoval didn't know Linderman had gone to find Magnuson either. Neither he nor Astrid were aware of the truce that had been called between the two sides. Their plans were already ruined. They just didn't know it yet.
All right! Kill them all! Burn the place to the ground!
What about your sister?
Spare her life, if you can. If you can't, well, either way, Salida del Sol will be mine, won't it?
Let's go!
The gunmen thundered down the hill where they had paused at the top of the slope. The lights of the hacienda were visible down below. Guns began to roar from attackers and defenders both as the hired killers began their assault. Sandoval drew his gun, brought his horse closer to Frank's.
Now for you, Morgan.
Frank had been working unobtrusively on his bonds, twisting and pulling at them in an effort to loosen them. But he hadn't made much progress yet, and his wrists were still held tightly to the saddle horn. Since his feet were free, his only chance was to try to kick the gun out of Sandoval's hand and gallop off into the darkness before Sandoval could recover the weapon. However, as if realizing that, Sandoval grinned, pulled his horse back a little, just enough to be out of Frank's reach, and raised the gun.
Adios, Señor Morgan.
But before he could pull the trigger, a gray shape came flying out of the night and crashed into Sandoval, knocking him out of the saddle, the gun in his hand going off as he fell. The bullet arced high and harmlessly into the air. Wolf was on top of Sandoval the instant the man hit the ground. Frank had lost track of the big cur during the escape from the gang's hideout canyon, but he had figured Wolf was still around somewhere and would follow Frank's scent until he caught up. Sandoval thrashed around on the ground and tried to ward off the slashing teeth of the shaggy wolf-like animal. In the buggy, Astrid stood up and reached in her bag. Starlight winked on the gun in her hand as she jerked it out of the bag. Frank didn't know if she intended to shoot him or Wolf or both. but he didn't figure to give her a chance at either of them. He jabbed his boot heels in the flanks of the horse and sent the animal leaping toward the two horses hitched to the buggy. Frank's mount collided with one of the buggy horses, spooking both of them. The team lunged forward, jerking the buggy into motion as they bolted. Astrid was knocked off her feet and fell over backward. The little pistol in her hand popped. She had let go of the reins as she stood up to fumble for her gun, and now they dangled loose on the floorboard, Frank saw, as the vehicle flashed past him. Astrid had fallen into the space behind the seat and was struggling to get up. She probably wouldn't be able to bring the runaway horses under control, Frank thought, as he kicked his mount into a run and took off after the buggy. With his hands tied to the saddle horn, Frank couldn't reach over and grab the harness to bring the horses to a stop, but he thought maybe he could get in front of them and crowd them into a turn that would eventually bring the buggy to a halt, as cowboys turned stampeding cattle to make them mill instead of run. Frank drew up behind the vehicle, then swung his horse to one side to gallop past it.
No!
She must have thought he was chasing her with the intention of hurting her rather than helping her.
Hold your fire! I'll try to stop the team!
But if she heard him, she didn't believe him. The pistol cracked again, twice. Frank leaned forward in the saddle as he felt the wind rip of a bullet past his ear. A glance ahead of him filled him with sudden horror. One of the gullies that cut across the valley loomed no more than 100 yards away. Frank had to stop the team before the buggy reached that slash in the earth. He urged his mount ahead and angled it toward the madly running horses hitched to the buggy. Astrid fired 3 more times, emptying her gun. None of the bullets found Frank, but one of them burned across the neck of his horse and made the animal give a leap and then start to sunfish.
No!
Frank clamped his knees to the horse's side as hard as he could, knowing that if he was thrown, the horse would probably bolt like the others and he would be dragged to his death by his hands lashed to the saddle. It took Frank several seconds to bring the horse under control again, and in that time, the buggy raced away from him. There was nothing Frank could do now except hope that the runaway team would see the gully and turn away from it in time. The horses spotted the gash in the earth all right, but not until they were almost on top of it. They shied away from the gully in a sharp turn, so sharp that the buggy swung out wide behind them. Then the vehicle disappeared as it hurtled into the gully, snapping the harness braces, and landed. Grim lines etched onto his face, Frank galloped toward the scene of the wreck. When he came to the edge of the gully, he peered down into the shadows gathered there. It was about 12 feet deep. He could see one of the buggy wheels sticking up, still spinning.
Astrid! Astrid, can you hear me?
Frank tugged angrily at the rawhide thongs holding his wrist to the saddle horn. He felt them scraping and tearing at his flesh, and blood began to flow and make the bonds slicker. The horse shied underneath him, and he looked around to see what had caused the reaction. Wolf trotted up, tongue lolling from his mouth. He must have been finished with Sandoval.
Wolf, come here!
Frank clamped his knees tight on the horse's flanks again to hold it steady, even though it wanted to get away from the big cur, which it no doubt regarded instinctively as a predator.
Wolf, chew!
Wolf hesitated, then reached up on his hind legs and placed his front paws on Frank's thigh. That brought him up high enough to reach the saddle horn. He went to work with his sharp teeth, gnawing and tugging on the rawhide thongs. After a few moments, they loosened enough for Wolf to get his mouth around them, and he chewed through one of the thongs. Frank was able to slip a hand out then and untie his other wrist. Free again at last, he slipped out of the saddle and ran to the edge of the gully. Half sliding, half falling, he went down the bank and then hurried over to the wrecked buggy.
Astrid! Astrid!
Ignoring the pain in his wrists and the blood that coated them, Frank reached into his pocket and found a match. Snapping the lucifer to life with his thumbnail, he leaned forward into the buggy and held the match up so that its flickering light washed over the pale, still face of Astrid Magnuson. She lay crumpled between the buggy and the gully's far bank, with the lower half of her body underneath what was left of the vehicle. Frank didn't have to be able to see it to know that her legs and pelvis had to be crushed. But she hadn't been forced to suffer the pain of that awful injury. The odd angle at which her head sat on her shoulders told him that much. Her neck was broken. She must have died instantly. Frank backed out of the wrecked buggy, dropped the match, and ground it out under his boot heel. He had a deep feeling of regret. Regret at the fate that had claimed Astrid. regret at the demons within her that had led her to betray her brother and ally herself with a vicious bastard like Jorge Sandoval. Thinking of Sandoval reminded Frank that the Montero Ranch was still under attack. He could hear the guns in the night, still blasting out their murderous melody. Dolores must have reached Salida del Sol safely, Frank thought. Otherwise, the ranch hands wouldn't have known that Sandoval's hired killers were on their way and wouldn't have been ready for them. Frank didn't know how many men Dolores could muster after the battle of the past few days, but he hoped there would be enough to hold off the attack until Magnuson arrived with help. Assuming, of course, that Pete Linderman had been able to find the oil man and convince him to come to the aid of his former enemy. Since there was nothing he could do here, Frank scrambled up out of the gully and ran back toward the horse, which had wandered off a short distance to get away from Wolf. He swung up into the saddle and rode toward the spot where Sandoval had fallen. He intended to get the man's gun and take a hand in the fight going on around the Montero Hacienda. The only problem with that was that Sandoval was gone. Dark splashes of blood on the grass showed where he had been. Either someone had come along and taken his body, or he hadn't been dead when Wolf left him to come after Frank. Sandoval's horse was still there, however, so Frank rode over to it and pulled the Winchester from the saddle boot strapped to the animal. He hoped the rifle was fully loaded, because he still had work to do, the sort of work he did best, gun work. Frank galloped toward the ranch house, Winchester in hand. As he headed down the hill, he watched the muzzle flashes and read the story they told. Sandoval's men had surrounded the hacienda. The bunkhouse was on fire, and the defenders seemed to have forted up inside the main house. Using whatever cover they could, the killers were working their way closer and closer. The thick adobe walls of the hacienda would stop their bullets, but sooner or later, the raiders would force their way inside, and then the defenders, including Dolores Montero, would be wiped out in a bloody slaughter. Frank didn't know if he could turn the tide of this battle by himself, but he damn sure intended to try. Before he could reach the ranch headquarters, though, a couple of riders suddenly loomed up out of the night to his left, followed by a wagon packed full of men. He veered toward them, knowing they could only be Linderman and Magnuson with reinforcements. All of Sandoval's men were already down there around the ranch.
Pete! Pete!
Linderman galloped up to him and reined his mount to a sliding halt.
Morgan! Is that you? Where's the Senora?
Down there. She got away. But then Sandoval's men surrounded the ranch.
Sandoval? What the hell are you talking about, Morgan?
Jorge Sandoval was behind all the trouble. It's a long story, but he wanted both Salida del Sol and your oil drilling operation, Magnuson.
Where is he? Where is that son of a bitch?
Dead, more than likely. He tangled with Wolf a few minutes ago. But his men don't know that, and they'll keep shooting until everybody down there is dead. Unless we stop them.
Then what the hell are we waiting for? Let's go!
Those men were oil drillers, not cowboys. But they were tough and well-armed, and that was all that mattered. In grim silence, they swept down toward the hacienda. They held their fire until they were practically on top of Sandoval's hired killers, who must not have heard the horses approaching over the continual boom of the guns. At least, not until it was too late. Suddenly, the drillers were among them, rifles cracking, muzzle flames spurting. Men leaped from the wagon and grappled hand-to-hand with the killers. Powder smoke clogged the air. Frank was in the thick of it, the Winchester bucking in his hands. He didn't bother to count the shots. He just fired until it was empty as he swept past the burning bunkhouse and plunged right into a group of gunmen who had been using some wagons as cover as they fired toward the house. He kicked his feet out of the stirrups and leaped from the saddle, landing in the middle of a couple of gunnies. He slammed the butt of the rifle stock into one man's head, rammed the barrel into the belly of another, and then brought it down in the back of the man's neck when he doubled over in pain. It was a brutal, close-quarters fight. From the corner of his eye, Frank saw Pete Linderman. The foreman had both hands filled with Colts and he had gotten somewhere. The guns roared and bucked as his bullets slashed at the killers. That looked like a pretty good idea to Frank. He stooped and picked up the revolver dropped by one of the men he had just knocked out, then looked around for another one. He snagged a Colt from the holster of a dead gunny who had been using a Winchester, then started toward Linderman just as several of the hired killers charged the foreman. Frank reached Linderman's side just as Victor Magnuson also loomed up out of the powder smoke carrying a rifle. Linderman dropped to one knee as Frank and Magnuson flanked him. Frank and Linderman blazed away with the pistols while Magnuson jacked the Winchester's lever and spewed lead from its barrel. The four men who had thought to jump Linderman were driven off their feet, their bodies shredded by the hail of bullets they ran into. The three men lowered their weapons slowly as they realized that the shooting was dying away to nothing. The eerie silence that always followed the end of a battle settled over the hacienda and the area around it. By the light of the burning bunkhouse, Frank looked around and saw that the cowboys who had been holed up inside the house had charged out once they realized reinforcements had arrived. Linderman got to his feet.
Jeff!
The young puncher limped over to them, grinning despite the blood that dripped down from his face from a bullet scratch on his cheek. The left leg of his trousers was stained with blood, too.
One hell of a fight, wasn't it, Pete?
Where's Dolores? Is she all right?
You mean the senora? She was in the house the last time I saw her, but yeah, she was okay. She had a rifle and was taking pot shots at those bastards along with the rest of us.
Linderman turned toward the house, evidently about to go look for Dolores. But before he could start, she came running out of the hacienda.
Pete, are you all right?
He dropped the empty six guns and looked like he was about to lift his arms and step forward to meet her and draw her into an embrace. But then he stopped, the natural deference of a foreman for his boss cropping up, Frank thought, as he looked at Linderman's smoke-grimed, weary face.
I reckon if anyone's earned it, Pete, you have.
Linderman glanced at him as Dolores slowed, unsure what to do.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Pete turned back to Dolores, grinned, and reached for her. A bloody apparition came out of the darkness behind her just then, looped an arm around her neck, and jerked her back as the grisly figure's other hand pressed a gun to Dolores' head.
Stay back! My sister is coming with me!
Jorge! Jorge, no! These are our friends!
You got that wrong, Senora. I hate to tell you this, but none of us are friends with your brother. Not anymore. Because he was the mastermind behind all the trouble.
It's true, Senora. He wanted the whole shebang for himself. Both ranches and Magnuson's oil wells. And he was willing to kill anybody, even you, to get them.
Sandoval began backing away, dragging Dolores with him. His face was covered with blood from the numerous gashes Wolf's teeth had left on it. And his clothes were dark with blood as well. He must have had the presence of mind to play dead during the Big Cur's attack. And despite the wounds he had suffered, he'd been strong enough to get away and slip down here to the ranch.
I'm going to kill you, Morgan. Then, I'm getting out of here. No one's coming after me!
That's where you're wrong, mister. If you hurt Dolores, I'll hunt you down and kill you myself. I'll do it anyway for all the hell you put her through.
I don't think so. Step up here, Morgan! Take what you've got coming to you.
The thing of it is, the second you take that gun away from your sister's head, you're a dead man. You may get me, but I'll get lead in you too. Or you can drop the gun and take your chances with the law.
Go to hell!
Sandoval had continued to back away from Frank, Linderman, Magnuson, and Jeff. Now he was within reach of one of the loose horses milling around.
Maybe. I'll just kill her first.
Linderman leaped forward, and suddenly, he was in the line of fire, blocking any shot by Frank.
No!
Sandoval jerked the gun away from Dolores' head and fired at Linderman, who staggered as the bullet tore into it. Then, Sandoval gave his sister a hard shove and sent her crashing into Linderman. Their legs tangled, and both of them went down, nearly knocking Frank and Magnuson down in the process. That gave Sandoval time to leap onto the horse, whose reins he grabbed. Frank got around Dolores and Linderman in time to snap a shot at the fleeing man, but Sandoval jabbed his spurs into the horse's flanks, and the animal's frantic leap in response made Frank's bullet miss. Magnuson and Jeff shot at Sandoval too, but he kept going, bent low over the horse's neck.
He's getting away!
Not hardly.
Frank grabbed the reins of another riderless horse. A second later, he was in the saddle, pounding through the night after Sandoval. Frank saw the muzzle flashes as Sandoval twisted around and fired back at him. Sandoval was taking the road toward the pass through the Santa Monica Mountains. The horse underneath Frank seemed pretty played out, he realized, and Sandoval was gradually pulling away. It was a desperate two-man race through the night now as the trail curved and twisted into the foothills, and Frank's mount continued to struggle. He had to do something to slow down Sandoval, or the man might get away. As one of Magnuson's drilling rigs loomed to the right of the trail up ahead, silent and abandoned at the moment because Magnuson had taken its crew with him to Salida del Sol, Frank lifted the Colt in his hand, drew a bead on Sandoval's horse, and squeezed the trigger. Sandoval's horse broke stride and then went down, its legs crumpling underneath him. Sandoval flew out of the saddle, crashed to the ground, and rolled over several times before he came up running straight toward the derrick. Frank angled the horse after him. Sandoval turned and fired, but Frank kept coming. As he reached the derrick, Sandoval began climbing up the wooden framework. He held onto a crossbeam with one hand and twisted around to fire down at Frank with the other hand. The bullet whined past Frank's ear. Frank brought the Colt up and squeezed off a shot. Frank reined in and reached to the loops on his shell belt. They were empty as well, he discovered. The hard cases had taken all his bullets while he was their prisoner. He flung himself out of the saddle as Sandoval fired again. Frank ran around to the other side of the derrick to put its wooden structure between him and Sandoval.
Give it up, Sandoval! Magnuson and the others will be here in a minute or two. There's nowhere for you to go.
Sandoval didn't answer. He just kept climbing. Frank started to climb, too. Sandoval slug-chewed splinters from one of the beams near Frank's head. But then, as Sandoval jerked the trigger for another shot, the hammer clicked on an empty chamber, just like it had with Frank's gun a few moments earlier.
God damn you!
Frank ducked and let the gun sail past him, then resumed his climb after Sandoval, who now seemed to be scrambling for the top of the derrick. Frank took his time about it. There was only so far Sandoval could go. The derrick was only about 50 feet tall. Sandoval reached the top while Frank was still 10 feet below it. Hearing hoofbeats, Frank paused and looked over his shoulder. He saw riders galloping down the road toward the derrick. That would be Magnuson and the others, he thought.
Time to call it quits, Sandoval. We can wait for you all night if that's what it takes.
Now you're wrong, Morgan. If I'm going to hell, you're going with me.
Sandoval fumbled inside his shirt.
I'm going to blow this well up with both of us on it.
He dropped the burning ball of paper down the center of the derrick. Frank watched it fall, hit some of the drilling equipment, bounce off, and come to a stop against one of the derrick's legs.
Too bad you don't know much about drilling for oil, Sandoval. I don't either, but I know this well hasn't come in. There's no oil down there to burn.
Maldito fatal infierno!
Sandoval glared down crazily at Frank. His grandiose last-ditch play had failed. So he dived at Frank instead, hitting his shoulder and jolting one hand and both feet loose. Sandoval continued to plummet until he landed on top of the drilling rig at the bottom. Frank hung for a second by that hand as he swung his feet back onto a crossbeam. Frank leaned on the derrick for a long moment to catch his breath as Magnuson and the other riders galloped up. Magnuson dismounted hurriedly and ran over to stomp out the small fire that had been ignited by Sandoval's futile attempt to blow up the derrick.
Are you all right, Morgan?
Yeah, I'll be down in a minute.
No hurry. Sandoval's not going anywhere. He's dead.
No, Frank thought. Sandoval wasn't going anywhere. He had already crossed the divide, and right about now he was probably shaking hands with the devil. There were a few unfinished bits of business, but for now, Frank was content to rest there on the derrick and look up at the stars, a mite closer to heaven than he normally was. When they got back to Salida del Sol, Frank was glad to discover that Pete Linderman was still alive. Sandoval's bullet had put a deep crease in his side, but that was all. However, Linderman had lost enough blood from his various wounds so that he was going to be pretty weak for a while. Frank figured that Dolores Montero would be more than happy to nurse him back to health. Now he had to break the bad news to Victor Magnuson, as the two of them stood in the hacienda's courtyard. There was no way of getting around it.
You better brace yourself, Magnuson. I found your sister's buggy in a gully on the other side of the ridge.
Astrid?
It looked like the team had run away from her.
Was she in the buggy? Is she all right?
I'm sorry. As best as I could tell, the crash broke her neck. I don't reckon she suffered much, if any.
Oh my God, what was she doing out here anyway?
I reckon she was looking for you. I guess she brought the buggy out when you didn't come back to town. Maybe she ran into Sandoval's men and they tried to capture her. I reckon they might have thought they could use her for leverage against you.
The bastards! I'm glad they're all dead, but even that's more merciful than they deserve.
Mercy came in all forms, Frank thought. And he didn't see any reason why he shouldn't show some of it to Victor Magnuson by keeping the true details of Astrid's death to himself. It sure as hell wouldn't change anything for Magnuson to know the truth now. With that unpleasant chore taken care of, Frank borrowed a horse from the Montero Remuda and headed back to town. Wolf trailed along behind him, head down, as if he were already missing Goldie, too. When John J. Stafford opened the door of his hotel room in response to Frank's knock, the lawyer was wearing a dressing gown, but he didn't appear to have gone to bed yet. He stared in shock at Frank's battered appearance.
My God, Mr. Morgan, what happened to you?
Plenty. But the important thing is that the trouble in the valley is over.
Over? But how?
Why don't I come in and tell you all about it?
Of course. I was just dictating some notes to my clerk.
The man who sat at the desk on the other side of the room stood with a gun in his hand.
Howdy, Mitchell.
The little man fired. Frank's left hand shot out and shoved Stafford out of the line of fire. His right dipped to the Colt on his hip, and the heavy revolver roared. Mitchell was slammed back against the chair by the impact of the bullet as it shattered his shoulder. The chair overturned, and Mitchell toppled over it to land on the floor.
Oh, my Lord! What?
Frank moved across the room to kick the fallen gun well out of Mitchell's reach. Not that the wounded man had any fight left in him. In fact, he appeared to have passed out from the shock of his wound.
I thought for a while that you were double-crossing me, Stafford. Because somebody tried to kill me the same night I got here to Los Angeles. And I figured you were the only one who knew I was coming. But then I remembered that your partner Turnbuckle has a law clerk who travels with him on cases, and I figured you might too.
Yes, of course. Mitchell came down here with me from San Francisco.
And proceeded to sell you out and pass along information to Jorge Sandoval.
Sandoval? You mean Senora Montero's brother?
Like I said, it's a long story. And I reckon that'll be the police coming to check on those shots. So I think I'll wait and just tell it once, if that's all right with you.
Frank was surprised to find Pete Linderman up and around when he rode Stormy out to Salida del Sol the next day. The men were busy cleaning up after the battle the night before, and Linderman was supervising, leaning on a cane on one side, with Dolores on his other side, ready to help him if need be.
I could have sworn you'd be resting in bed, recuperating.
There's a lot of work to be done around here. We've got to rebuild the barn and the bunkhouse, not to mention patching a whole heap of bullet holes.
And there's a contract to negotiate with Victor Magnuson, too.
So you're gonna let Magnuson drill on your range?
Yes. I hope Francisco understands, wherever he is. But you were right about there not being any way to turn back the clock, Mr. Morgan. Things will never be as they once were. And if I hadn't been so stubborn about insisting that they could be, Jorge wouldn't have been able to take advantage of the situation like he tried to.
I'm sorry about your brother.
So am I, Mr. Morgan. So am I. But I'm not the only one who lost a loved one. The death of Astrid Magnuson is even more tragic because she didn't even have anything to do with all of this.
I suppose so.
None of Sandoval's gun wolves had survived the battle, so he was the only one who knew the truth about Astrid. Keeping it to himself was really more than she deserved. But after thinking it over, Frank still didn't see a good enough reason to heap even more grief on her brother's head. Let him mourn her, and let the truth be buried with her.
Say, we've got something for you, Morgan. Hey, Jeff, go fetch that surprise for Mr. Morgan.
I don't much cotton to surprises.
I don't figure you'll mind this one.
A moment later, a grinning Jeff led Goldie out of a shed that hadn't been burned. Frank caught his breath as he saw the big golden-hued stallion. Goldie was limping a little, but seemed to be all right otherwise.
He came wandering in this morning. He's a little lame in one leg, like he fell and hurt it. You might want to have a horse doc take a look at it. But I've been around horses plenty, and I think he'll be fine. He just needs plenty of rest and some good graze.
He can get those things right here on Salida del Sol, Mr. Morgan. If we can talk you into staying for a while, that is.
I reckon I could do that. I can't think of anywhere I have to be.
The drifter could drift on some other day.
Last Gunfighter Slaughter is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2009, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2010, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Bobby Aselford, Michael Replogle, Margie Tompros, Christopher Graybill, Karen Novak, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Terrence Aselford, Dylan Lynch, Stephen Carpenter, Jeff Allen, Tony Nam, Johan Detweiler, Andy Clements, Jeff Baker, Mort Shelby, Rick Rowan, Jonathan Watkins, and Christopher Sheeran. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Lauren Driller. Original music and title theme by Johan Detweiler. Additional music by Brian Patton. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed The Last Gunfighter, be sure to look for the series A Town Called Fury, as well as Smoke Jensen the Mountain Man, The First Mountain Man, and Sidewinders. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other thrillers in graphic audio.
The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now in Graphic Audio.
I've not been able to enjoy a day or night without pain since Jensen shot me. I want him dead. No, crippled and suffering would be better.
Well, Olin, you know I have ample cause to despise Smoke Jensen. I was a man of consequence and ample means before Jensen thrust himself into my affairs. And life among prisoners and guards has further destroyed me.
I have no reason to love Smoke Jensen, as you well know. He maimed me and murdered my son, took everything from me, and it galls my ass.
Quiet down over there! No talking among the prisoners! You three know the rules!
And it galls my ass that there is not a thing we can do about it from inside here. Smoke Jensen is free as a bird to go and do anything he wants with no harm to him.
I'd give a hell of a lot to see it otherwise.
Are you proposing we find a way to get out of here?
I think that would go a long way toward accomplishing our mutual goal, to bring an end to the career and life of Smoke Jensen. We are three men whom you have terribly wronged, and for that wronging, you must now pay.
Don't you even think about missing Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man 16. Spirit of the Mountain Man. Available now in Graphic Audio.
Reapers have come to Earth to establish a new order. They rule the planet. They thrive on the scent of fear. And if it is night, as sure as darkness, they will come.
You fight them, right? The Kurians, the Reapers, the things they make?
Well, not all at once, son. In fact, we spend more time running scared from them than we do standing and fighting. We can hit them here and there where we don't stand too much of a chance of getting hit back. When we're not doing that, we're trying to keep from starving. Ever drunk water out of a hoof print to wash down a couple handfuls of ground-up ants? Slept outside in the rain without even a tent? Worn the same shirt for a month straight? Really stinks, son. And I don't just mean the shirt.
I'd like to join up, sir.
I knew you could talk him into it.
Those are grogs.
They must have got wind of us last night. Not sure how many of us there are, so they're going back to report. But take a look at this freak show, Valentine. Those leg worms are fun to stop, too. Brain is at the tail end, kind of like Finner here. Nothing up front but a mouth and some taste buds, I guess. Also, like Finner here, come to think of it.
We try to pick off the riders, but the lead one always has a big riot shield, thick as tank armor. One thing you do not want to ever see is about 50 of them coming at you in line abreast.
That happened at the Battle of Cedar Hill. We lost.
Ever ready. The very top of that hill. Maybe by that big windfall trunk. I think something's up there.
David, I think you're right. It's up there, but not moving. A Reaper. Hard ears, boys. This is a sound you need to know.
Madre de Dios!
Five. One for each of us. Oh, that's luck, not planning.
Drop him!
No! Wait! No! Don't let him! Don't shoot!
You might as well shoot, foodlings. You'll all three be dead as soon as I take you.
Oh, God! Let me go! Val! Get it off me! Get it off me!
You got one thing right, foodling. I am a god.
Sorry, Gil. Hope you do the same for me.
Vampire Earth, Book 1, Way of the Wolf, Part 1.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that Graphic Audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.